This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back, and we're going to get a little history lesson here on slavery, because you hear so much of what's going on today. You've got these apostates out there and wanting people, there was a thing called the Civil War, right? And what happened was, those in the North, they fought a war against those in the South, and they fought to free slaves, and they gave up their lives. Many of them lost their lives to free the slaves. So today, what do they want you to do? What is it that they call where those that were not alive for four or five generations, but they want you to pay them. What's the word on that? Well, you'll see. Take it away, style.
There's a video going absolutely viral right now on X. And I wanted to share it with you guys because, it's always good to share a bit of the truth from time to time, because facts don't care about feelings. The truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. Currently, this video clip that you are about to watch with me has nearly 30 million views, and it was just dropped a few days ago. It has 28 million views in just a few days. Yeah, absolutely insane. Just bonkers numbers. Almost 30 million, and for good reason. So with that being said, first off, thank you guys for tuning in, as always. Greatly appreciate it. But let's dive in.
The first point is that everyone had slaves, okay? People of all colors became slaves for economic reasons, because of war, because slavery, as odious as it was simply a normal way of life. Arabs were extracting millions of black African slaves centuries before Christian nations did, for about 13 centuries, compared to the 3 centuries European nations ran the Atlantic slave trade. Arabs marched African slaves across the Sahara Desert, and as such, they died more often. It was customary to castrate them, and many died from this practice. The Arabs also enslaved over 1 million white European Christians. The term slavery, in fact, comes from the word Slav. The Slavs inhabited Eastern Europe and were taken by the Muslims of Spain in the 9th century. Not to mention that Africans had been enslaving each other for thousands of years. The point is that slavery, the second point is that slavery was not about race, and that's important. It was not about race. The only reason we think it's about race is because philosophers like David Hume in the 18th century ranked human beings and put Africans at the bottom, saying that they had no souls. The Enlightenment imposed the concept of race on a practice that had been going on for centuries in order to justify that practice. And why did they have to justify it? And this is the point. Because people in the West began to question slavery's moral validity. The fact is that people of all colors owned slaves, both as part of the Atlantic slave trade and outside of it. In the United States and Caribbean, black people owned thousands of black slaves, and so did the Native Americans. Nearly 20,000 of the Native American 5 civilized tribes sided with the Confederacy during the Civil War, fighting to keep slavery alive. 28% of the black population who were free in New Orleans pledged their support to the Confederacy. All of the 13 southern states of the Confederacy had substantial numbers of black slave owners. There were more than 250,000 free blacks, and nearly 4,000 of them were slave masters, who owned more than 20,000 slaves. The practice of slavery was legal, after all. We need to remember that governments did not own slaves. Slave owners did. In fact, the U.S. government fought a war to end slavery. How much should the descendants of the 400,000 Union soldiers who lost their lives fighting to free the slaves pay to the descendants of the slaves they freed? Giving people lump sums of money does not work. Economists often point to the Georgia Land Lottery of 1832, in which parcels of land were distributed randomly. What happened to the descendants of those who were lucky enough to be given this land? Are they the richest families in Georgia? No. In fact, within one generation after the distribution of the Georgia land, one could not distinguish between those who had been given land and those who hadn't. Certainly my own direct experiences of working for 20-plus years in the inner city with families on welfare demonstrates this time and time again. Rather than give a man a fish, it is always better to teach him how to fish. All giving the fish does is make the giver feel better. Reparations might relieve white people of their guilt, but it will do little else. So back to my initial question. Why are we only discussing whether the West should pay reparations for slavery? Because while slavery was common to all civilizations, only one civilization developed a moral revulsion against it very late in its history, Western civilization. Not even the leading moralists in other civilizations rejected slavery at all. Rather than be ashamed as Westerners, we should stand proud for having led the world out of a mentality where slavery was the norm, and we should vote against this motion.
I agree 1,000.
All right, very good. She made a very good point, didn't she?
Yeah, didn't she?
That point was that, again, you had 400,000 of those. Now, you know, I think Al Sharpton should pay me some reparations. Benny Thompson, Thompson, I think you should pay me, Waters, the congresswoman,
Maxine?
Maxine Waters. She should pay us, and Whoopi Cushing Goldberg, they all need to pay us, right?
Right.
Because I had relatives that fought on both sides of that war, okay? And so, anyhow, I should get reparations. All right. Anyhow, and this is, again, why one of the reasons people need to get involved. We go through this thing after what happens this summer. If we get our country back, we need to put in place government of the people, by the people, for the people again. This is why it's important. This is why I encourage people to come out to Doers of the Word Baptist Church this coming Friday at 7 p.m. And the address is 14781 for you folks in Northeast Ohio. But now you have chapters. We have chapters in states all across the United States. So if they go up on the internet to what? tacticalcivics.com.
.com.
If you go up there and you can find out more about when it's happening, you want this in place. It could be where we can have a real movement of taking America back. Can you imagine what if every state just passed what they just passed in Tennessee? Yeah. That's what we need. We need that.
What's crazy is 74-76% of all the laws aren't lawful according to the U.S. Constitution. You want to talk about taking slavery back right there? I mean, that's somewhere between $1,700 and $2,100 a month back in the average family's pocket that they ain't stole from them. Stunning how much we can change and how incredibly positive it's going to be.
In this, what they call lawfare, this is right from the pit of hell. It's right from America's killing. The Bible says, in effect, I just want to pray right now. All you folks out there with me, listen to me. We need, the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the problem is the heathen out there, the Democratic Communist Party, the Deathocratic Communist Party, they have no fear of God, okay? And I'm going to pray, I'm going to ask you folks out there listening to us to join with me. I'm going to say an imprecatory prayer that really needs to put the fear of God into these heathen, okay? Yeah. So join with me out there. Let's take America back. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we gather here tonight, Lord, I just want to hold our nation up and ask, Father God, those that want death, this corrupt judge here in Ohio that's going to rule on the heartbeat bill to rule it illegitimate, not enforce. Although it was the will of the people voted, and they, by a craft and by deception with this issue on the wicked. So, and as you said in your word, Lord, that those of the world are much wiser when it comes to the ways of the world than those of you, than your children. And so, Lord God, my prayer is this, Father God, for those that want, those on the left, you've told us already in the word that those on the left would be bound and burnt in the lake of fire. My prayer is, Lord, we would rather, and I know you, Lord, would rather have them to repent than perish. But my prayer is, Father God, that you put your fear into them for this judge and for these people in the media, all of those that want death. They want the killing of innocent babies. They feel it's their right to destroy your children. They claim that they have the right to transgress the dominion of God. And you made it very clear that they'd be better off to have a millstone hung around their neck and drowned. They'd been better off, they'd never been born at all, than to harm the children. And so many of them fell, well, we did it, we got away with it. But Lord, we know that they don't get away with it, that they're going to reap what they sow. And so my prayer, Father God, is this, that you visit that death, those that want death, the entire Democratic Communist Party, Lord, these judges, these corrupt judges, that death that they want for the children, that death that they want for the innocent, that you would visit it upon their own heads, that you would turn and visit it upon their own heads. And if we had enough pastors that had the courage too, Lord, to pray, if we had enough, we know, Lord, that they, if you did that, it wouldn't take many of them when they saw them going to hell, and that's where they would go without repentance, Father God. Then there would be, you would put the fear back into the wicked, the fear of you into the wicked. So that's my prayer out there, that people will join it and pray that you will visit that death upon their own heads, upon the entire Democratic Communist Party leadership, upon Hillary Clinton, and upon Betty Thompson, upon Chuckie Schumer, upon Merrick Garland, upon all of those, the left, that you would visit that death that they want for the innocent children back on them. And Lord, I would pray that you would raise up pastors with courage, men of God, those that look like King David, were men that would be after your own heart, understanding of, Father God, that the righteous are as bold as lions, and that light can have no fellowship with darkness. Pastors that will not compromise, Lord. Again, you've told us in the beginning there was one position, there was one profession that much more than any others, requires obedience, requires courage, honesty, honor, integrity, truthfulness, loyalty, steadfastness, faithfulness, and that is the office of blood-washed, spirit-filled, born-again, anointed pastors. And that's what, Lord, America needs. We need these men to be leaders. We need shepherds, Lord, to lead us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go. Now, we have a bunch of stuff we got to get going on here. One, what was my first article that I did? Oh, okay, here you go. Here's, never forget, U.S. government has now held Jeremy Brown in prison for 1,000 days for leaking the video of the FBI trying to recruit him for January 6th. The FBI is so corrupted. They are so, so corrupted. Jeremy Brown was a Green Beret and a former Republican candidate for Congress in Florida's 14th Congressional District. Brown served in the United States Army from 1992 to 2012 and reached the rank of Special Forces Master Sergeant. Jeremy Brown served his country honorably. Jeremy Brown never entered the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. His crime was, in reality, refusing to be an FBI informant, as here the Gateway Pundit described in several previous posts. We've read these articles before. As the Gateway Pundit reported over 2 years ago now, Jeremy Brown refused to be an informant for Chris Wray's completely corrupt. People want to know why they don't trust him. I heard that corrupt Congressman Coons, I heard him today talking about President Trump wanted to defund the FBI. Yeah, they should defund the FBI. Coons, Representative Coons, they're as corrupt as you are, Coons. I mean, what? They don't know right from wrong. These people, they don't. Just, it's an amazing thing. So here, they wanted him to be one of their undercover operatives at the January 6th Trump rallies. He refused and later released video of the agents coming to his home to recruit him to do that dirty work. And the article goes on to say, if I can get it. This is great when you're doing live radio and the pages stick together. Okay. So the FBI stormed his home at 3:45 a.m. on Tuesday on October 2021 and arrested him on bogus misdemeanor charges. So in March of 2021, Jeremy Brown began speaking out about the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force contacted him in December 2020 and attempted to recruit him to spy on patriots and everyday Americans on January 6th. In December 2020, FBI agents contacted Jeremy Brown at his home for posting some things online. Jeremy later released video surveillance of the FBI contacting him at his home. And Jeremy later released an audio recording of his actual meeting with the FBI. Jeremy struggled for months about whether or not to go public with his information, but according to the Facebook page, after listening to politicians and the FBI director Chris Wray tell lie after lie after lie, bold-faced lies. I've watched Chris Wray lie under oath. And why not? I mean, who's going to prosecute him? Okay, you got the...
We the people can. We just got to get enough of us.
Yeah, you know, well, you see, that's the point. That's the whole point of tactical civics. We have to. And speaking of that, you have Jack Smith admits FBI doctored evidence to produce student stunt photos of classified docs during Mar-a-Lago. There you go. Just here. Special counsel. By the way, Jack Smith was not legally, lawfully appointed, okay? The Congress has to appoint him, okay? Hmm. Not Merrick Garland. Everything about that DOJ is corrupt. Everything. Jack Smith admitted the FBI doctored evidence to produce stunt photos of classified documents during the Mar-a-Lago raid. By the way, they're trying to put a hush up President Trump because they came in. Remember what they did to Randy Weaver. Remember what they did to Waco, okay? And they came in loaded for bear. And there's a photo of the document and the way they set it out there. Just unbelievable. Okay. Special Counsel Jack Smith just admitted the FBI added cover sheets to alleged classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago. And here's the evidence. He goes on to say, Jack Smith admitted that the FBI messed with the boxes containing classified documents they seized from Trump and can't be sure the order of the placement of the documents. Jack Smith, in his response, admitted the FBI moved the classified documents all around. According to a footnote in the motion reviewed, the Gateway Pundit, the FBI messed with boxes containing classified documents they seized from Trump's. And so when Trump says that he felt that they came, that his life was threatened, he should. Okay. Remember what they just did with Jeremy. We talked about that. That's what they did with Randy Weaver. They did the same. They wanted Randy Weaver to go into a church. And Randy, I knew Randy. He was a friend of mine. And so he, right on this radio program, he told them how they wanted him to go into a church that they said it was, guess what, it was an actual New Testament church. It wasn't a corporation. And they said that they were a white supremacist church. Well, they were a separatist church. The Bible says all we are to be separatists. I pastor a separatist church. If you're not a separatist church, you're not in line. The Bible says come out and be separate from them, okay? Come out from amongst them, be you separate from them, okay? And that's from the apostates, okay? And so they weren't a supremacist, okay? You know, you have all real churches, whether they be black, white, yellow, or whatever, if they're actual New Testament churches, they're separatists. And so here, when they went to Randy, and they told Randy, we believe that these people are conducting anti-government activities. That's what they tried to do to me. That's what Judge Marcus here in Cleveland some years ago, and they wanted to charge me with anti-government activities because of the constitutional people that I had on the radio program, okay? And so here Randy refused. He said, you know, he went into the church. He went in, they told him that they were stocking firearms and they were going to start a revolution, whatever. So he went in there, he was attending the church, and he didn't see any of that. Nobody had, they weren't stocking arms, and he went back to him and said, I'm not spying on them anymore. Those people aren't doing anything wrong. They're just trying to, you know, be left alone. They're not doing that, and so I'm not going to be reporting to you anymore. And they said, you don't do that. You don't tell us that you're not going to report to us. And that's when they tried to set him up. They set a guy into, because Randy would, he could make guns, and they wanted him to make a shotgun. And the guy insisted that he had a case, he had to put it in, and it had to be 1/4 inch below the legal limit. And that's what they did. They set him up on that to do that. And then when he refused and they came upon his mountain, they murdered his wife while she's standing in the doorway, Vicky, holding her baby. Okay. And then they shot his Donnie. First they shot his dog and then they shot him. Shot his arm off at the elbow. And then they tried to burn Randy and the rest of them out. This is what happens when it gets out of control. This thing, these are a lot of these things, like the January 6th, this whole thing was a setup. It was a setup by the Antichrist Communist Party, okay? And here, it's a test. They want to know how they want the American people are going to respond. They watched at Waco when they set the buildings on fire and then shot the children as they ran out. Okay, they wanted to see what they can expect, how we're going to respond. The American people better have the guts to stand up and do the right thing. Okay, and so because
if we don't, they're not going to back off. They're going to come.
Yeah, I know that.
That's just it.
And again, and so freedom isn't free.
Nope.
It is not free. And so going back to this article, the government acknowledged that this is inconsistent with what government counsel previously understood and represented to the court. This is Jack, by the way, Jack Smith, this guy, listen, when corrupt lawyers refer to you as dirty Jack, you know, this is, you know, you got to be bad. This guy's lost more cases, been ruled than you can shake a stick at. The DOJ on August 2022 lied to the court when they claimed the red, blue, and yellow sheets shown in the viral photo of the classified documents indicated their classification status. They lied. Merrick Garland lied under oath. Chris Wray lied under oath. The FBI admitted they messed with Trump's documents. The FBI used cover sheets as placeholders for the classified documents. And after the boxes were brought to the WFO, the FBI created an index to correlate the documents with classification markings and labeled the classified cover sheets in the boxes with the codes of the seized documents. The FBI also generally replaced the handwritten sheets with classified cover sheets. And so I'm going to just stop there. And here is something else. Election integrity at stake. In Georgia, Fulton County, Georgia seeks to destroy 2020 election ballots amid ongoing lawsuits. They want to get rid of these ballots, okay? the corruption is just unbelievable. Here, and you can do an article if you want. Here you go. Here's an article for you. But anyhow, an ongoing lawsuit concerning the 2020 election attorneys for Fulton County, Georgia, made a controversial argument yesterday. They suggested that a temporary injunction preserving the 2020 Fulton election ballots should be lifted, which would allow the ballots to be destroyed before they are unsealed, copied, and revealed in the public. The attorneys also contended that Fulton County should receive attorney fees for the case, despite a Georgia Supreme Court ruling that overturned lower court decisions and confirmed standing for the plaintiffs who seek to copy and inspect the ballots according to voter Georgia. Now, again, we saw some of what took place there when they were hiding those ballots, pulling them out after they threw all of the Republicans out. Representing full of Superior Court Clerk Superior Court Clerk Chi Alexander, attorney Laura Moore, made the case that there is no longer room in a secure warehouse cage for the ballots, so that they now may be now destroyed. She wants to get rid of the evidence, right?
That makes sense if you're a criminal.
Moore conveniently admitted from her argument that Fulton County opened a new 60,000 square foot election operations warehouse at an initial cost of nearly $30 million and an additional $4 million annual fee for Fulton taxpayers. And then he goes on to say, Attorney Kay Burwell argued that the county should receive attorney fees for costs incurred so far because plaintiffs' claims, which are still yet to be adjudicated, are meritless. Yeah. Burwell ignored the rulings showing plaintiffs in the case, currently known as Favorito versus Juan, were granted relief 8 times, thus proving their claims are legitimate. The rulings include 1, a temporary injunction to preserve all the ballots on January 7, 2021, in order to produce scanned absentee ballot images on April 16, 2021. An order upholding 2 records request claims on April 2021, a motion granted to add to the country or to the county and clerk as defendants on April 21, 2021, an order to unseal the ballots for inspection and copying on May 21, 2021, an order granting petitioner's motion to add parties on June 24th, 2021, a Georgia Supreme Court order confirming plaintiff's standing claim on December 12th, 2022, and an appeals court adoption of the higher order for Fulton County plaintiffs on May 11th, 2023. So there you go. You've got all that. But then you hear people, I know I've picked on Brett Baer, but when he said, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence in that smug? And even on Fox News, Fox News claims to be fair and balanced. They weren't fair and balanced at all. And they did not tell the truth. Okay. So But hang tight. We're up against a break. We'll be back right after this.
A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, "I want to see the preacher." So they left them alone. "Will you make me a promise?" she said as he walked in. He said, "Tell me what I can do." She said this to him. Said, "I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about Mom and Dad?" I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell Mom and Dad about heaven above, how that they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would be in a church service with them. She said, "Promise me you'll tell them." As she faded off to sleep, he said, "Sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep."
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain. Tell them they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
That's what we do here. We try to tell people about Jesus. And it looks like the state of Tennessee is doing it. Tell you what, let's open the phone line and take some call. The phone line is open. We'll take a few, we have time to take a few calls at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open. Go ahead. You have an article there, Phil.
Yeah, it says welfare officers are providing voter registration forms to illegals without proof of citizenship. Just stunning to me, some of this stuff.
So if we had our grand jury in place, we would stop that, right?
We would investigate it, absolutely. And then, it would get investigated so fast it's unbelievable. If we had a lawful grand jury, we had the power to go after this. So,
and that lawful grand jury could go, say, over the entire state.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, every county could go after if this was going on in a county.
Yep.
You could go after them and shut them down and indict them.
That's
and
why
bring criminal charges against them.
We could stop
them
the
in jail.
Lawfare.
It's crazy.
Already, you have one. You know, to go along with that, before we take our first call, you have what is taking place now in a nonpartisan election validity group files a landmark lawsuit in Pennsylvania. United Sovereign Americans Incorporated, a nonpartisan all-volunteer election validity advocate group, and two Pennsylvania residents have filed a writ of mandamus directing the following Pennsylvania officials and organizations: Secretary of Commonwealth, the Bureau of Elections, and Bureau of Election Security and Technology, the Department of State, and the State Attorney General. They also have named Attorney General Merrick Garland and the United States Department of Justice as an additional respondents. They are claiming that the officials named above are not performing their duty to follow existing laws and safeguards in our election. No kidding. A writ of mandamus is a judicial remedy in the English and the American common law system consisting of court order and commands of government officials to or entity to perform an act it is legally required to perform as part of its official duties. Boy, see how corrupt our courts are. They refuse to do that. The prosecutors refuse to prosecute violent criminals. It's just unbelievable. Look, they just let all of those Hamas that brag just to drop charges against all of those Hamas that were destroying property. And then they go after pro-lifers. They went after here, a 72-year-old grandmother. Put her in prison. Okay. These people are wicked. And then you got Merrick Garland lying through his teeth saying, they make no distinction. They practice the law equally. What a lie. What a lie. I mean, absolute lie.
Everybody knows it.
Yep. It's from crazy. Performing an act the law forbids it from doing. Writs of mandamus are usually used in situations where government officials have failed to act as legally required or has taken a legally prohibited action. The petitioner asserts the Congress of the United States has outline the minimum standards which may be maintained to every state in order for a federal election to be considered reliable. And outlined below a Pennsylvania 2020 federal elections, those minimum standards were not met by Commonwealth election officials, rendering the certified election results that year unreliable. Respondents in their official capacities engaged in sufficient efforts to ensure that the 2022 performance is not repeated. You know, well, everybody knows the corruption in Pennsylvania. I mean, in the Rhino Republicans didn't stop it. They did not. They could have, but they did not. And so the standards include: one, only properly registered voters cast votes. They didn't. Only votes properly cast are counted correctly. That didn't happen. All voting systems are compliant with all critical infrastructure requirements, and every ballot is correctly and uniformly processed as well as accurately tabulated and secured. That never happened.
Sure. Yeah.
The authenticity of every ballot counted is proven by the maintenance of the comprehensive unbroken chain of custody from the voter's hand to the final certified result, and the Commonwealth election officials maintain records of said chain of custody post-election. That never happened. And certification of future elections is understood to be an official act under penalty of perjury. So, there, you know, the article goes on and on. But, again, there's corruption everywhere. All right, do we have anyone on the line? Oh, that's amazing. Yesterday we opened it up, and, boy, they were calling left and right. And how much time do we have? We still have a little bit of time. Actually, we got time to make maybe one or two phone calls, and that would be all. You know, there was America First Legal sends directives to all 50 states on preventing illegal aliens from voting amidst reports of Biden regime distributing Social Security numbers and voter registrations to illegals. So, there you go. America First Legal, the AFL, a conservative legal group, has sent letters to officials in every state urging them to enforce existing laws that prevent illegal immigrants and non-U.S. citizens from registering to vote and casting ballots in elections. Now, let me ask you, do you think that NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, they're all completely aware of all of this is happening? Okay, now, because they come on and now they're the talking heads, and they pretend to be legitimate. Yeah, and it's just an amazing thing how. Oh, let's go to California. We have Karen. Hey, Karen.
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm calling in. I'd like you on the air, if you would, particularly between now and Thursday with the debate, if you would please follow up with Donald Trump's request to get a drug testing. Ask him to require a DNA test so that we can know for sure whether this is one of Biden's doubles. He absolutely does have a double. It's been proven, and I became really aware of it at Easter when he was supposedly talking at a black church for quite a while. And no, the voice recognition, it was not him. And following that, I have seen the visual recognitions and the voice recognitions. He definitely, 100%, has a double.
And they wouldn't get away with it there because the scrutiny would be too close. Listen, if you don't think Trump is going to have a whole army of his people there, and they're looking for exactly that type of thing, okay? And because, right. Look, they have, you know, like you and me, they know that the Democrats are completely, totally corrupted. I mean, there's right. Nothing they will do that's not corrupt. And so,
if it could be made public about a DNA test, like I say, Trump has already requested a drug test, and I think a DNA test would be very, very appropriate. And then also, because like I say, it's been proven through voice recognition and visual recognition over and over that this, he definitely 100% has a double, all the way from the powdery things across his forehead so the wrinkles don't show much, to the hairline that's slightly different. And then now we have the mask thing that goes on where they can pull off this mask. And, and a little side note with killing of the babies, I became aware of this quite a few years ago. Planned Parenthood not only gets their money from our government and from the prospective moms, they also sell a very large amount of those fetuses to our food industry. 100%. And I watched very carefully, did a lot of research on it, and there's something you can look up. It's canababy.com. Hopefully Google hasn't removed it. But canababy.com. And then also Family Fetus Food, where it has been proven. I saw videos of the foods that have flavor enhancements in it, and it is fetuses.
We send a lot of that information out there on our newsletters and several times, probably half a dozen times we sent that out there. Yeah, especially for the flavoring of food. There is no end to their evil. Planned Predators is the most wicked, evil, ungodly, unclean, creeping, crawling purveyor of death on planet Earth. Karen, let me tell you this too. Don't use the word fetus. See, you and I understand that word simply means young one, but use the word babies. A lot of the people out there, you know, they don't understand the difference, and never ever use the word pro-choice. It's pro-life or pro-death.
But on Google, back when I was first hearing about it a few years ago, the on Google you get Family Fetus Food, and I don't know, I haven't checked recently to see if Google's tried to remove that or not. But those things need to be reminded by you, people listening to you. I listen to you almost every night. And God bless you for being up until midnight. Gee. And it's not even already dark here where I am. But anyway, God bless you. And if you could put out some reminders, particularly now between now and Thursday, that we absolutely 100% do have a body double that we're dealing with.
All righty.
He cannot stand and read a teleprompter for as long as he does. Physically, he's not even able.
All righty. Let's see what happens. Okay, wait, tomorrow's Wednesday. Wait, in a few minutes, we're going to be on Wednesday. So I'd have to do it tomorrow night. It'd be the only time. I wouldn't have time because Thursday, they're going to be the debate takes place before I even go on the air. And so we'll see what happens there, too, in this debate. That one of the things that you were talking about, though, what they were calling about that double that they had, it was the ears that were the major difference in Biden. The people noticed it, that they were shaped differently. But anyhow, they all have, you know, just like, you know, for Hillary Clinton, they had three Hillarys at the same time in Washington with the same last name. Her last name, I'm trying to remember what it was. But there were three of them, and they all looked pretty much alike. A lot of people don't know that either. So, all right. Well, I thank you, Karen. And what time? Oh, yes. We're coming up to that. How much time do I have there, Style? Okay. Well, it's that time. Too late to take calls now. And I had this American First article. Well, maybe I'll pick that up tomorrow night. But you know what time it is. And I was looking for something here that I had seen earlier. And I didn't have time to get it here. Summary of the Great Awakening in America. God's great outpouring of the Holy Spirit always focused on the church in one location with one person, starting in Jerusalem. First outpouring, Jerusalem, Day of Pentecost in 33 AD. Upper Room, the Apostle Peter. The first Great Awakening, Enfield, Connecticut, July 8th. 1741, Congregational Church, Pastor Jonathan Edwards. The Second Great Awakening, Logan County, Kentucky. Third Sabbath on June 19th, 1800, Red River Church, Pastor James McGreedy. The Third Great Awakening, Manhattan, New York, September 23rd, 1857, Dutch Reformed Church, Jeremiah Lamphere. Azusa Street Outpouring in Los Angeles, California, April 9th, 1906, 214 North Bonnie Blue Street, Pastor William Seymour. Jesus Revolution, Costa Mesa, California, Southern California, May 1968, Calvary Chapel, Pastor Chuck Smith. He's still on the air, Chuck Smith. Here, outpourings of the Holy Spirit in America. The line between the years and the great outpourings. Stoddard, 1690 to First Great Awakening, 1741, 50 years. First, 1741 to Second Great Awakening, 1800, 60 years. Second, 1800 to the Third Great Awakening in 1857, 60 years. The Third Awakening, 1857 to Azusa Street, 1906 and 50 years. Azusa Street, 1906 to Jesus Revolution, 1968, 60 years. And I guess what he's trying to tell us from 1968, the last great awakening opportunity in the Holy Spirit, and that would be, this would be 56 years of right now, and people are thinking that we may be in the midst of the start of another great awakening with what's happening around the country. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we know that this, that, and we know, Lord, that we continue to pray. We ask, Father God, Lord, that you bring revival, that you bring revival. But we know there has to be repentance before there's revival. And we know, Lord, this, that as we're waiting for that repentance, that every night in this country, Lord, the souls, you require the souls of many people are required every single night. And we know, Lord, that it's not a tragedy to die. We're all going to die, but to die in their sin, it's a horrible thing. So the folks out there listening, they have to understand that, God, you never promised us, Father. You never promised us another day. Many people out there are not planning at all. They're not planning on dying at all. In fact, the vast majority of them that will die between now and this time tomorrow night have no idea. They're not planning on dying. But when their soul is required, when their soul is required of them, when you call them, they're going to go. And so my prayer is for the folks out there listening tonight that they would do this, that they would call upon the Lord, well, that they would pray to the Father like Jesus said. He tells you to pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sin. And then call upon his name. He took your place upon the cross. He did the substitutionary death. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. That you would do that, folks out there. Listen, when the preacher's giving you this invitation, only God knows. You don't know. You might not make it till morning. And so if you have not called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you're getting a heads up. Do it tonight. Pray to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. He expects you to put him first and foremost, even before yourself, everything. That's what he did for you when he took your place on the cross. He put you first. You were there. And so when you do that, this will happen, because God's word, okay, folks, is truth. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You have God's word upon that. God's word upon that. There's nothing, never has been, never will be, anything that's as sure as the word of God. And so, like he said, repent or perish. Don't be caught dying in your sin. Right now, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you're walking a tightrope over a burning lake of fire. You don't want to go there. So, with that, we're coming up to the time we come to every night where we want to thank the folks for being here with us tonight. And we want to say to God bless you and good night. And you're getting ready. Bill's getting ready for this. The big finish. This is the big finish, the grand finish. Always, always, always. Ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.